Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger,
there we go.
Well, I'm very pleased to have as a special guest today John Cameron, former Secret Service Customs agent, a whole bit. He covers a broad swath of territory issues today. We're being told, for example, the Secret Service can't solve where this cocaine they found came from, and you're going to find John will debunk that very idea. It ought to have been solved in 30 minutes or less. Before I turn to a few stories I want to introduce and then bring John on at the bottom of the hour, but he's welcome to comment on the stories, let me say a few words about the great or not so great debate over flat Earth of Wednesday. I was doing my best to give, you know, opportunity to both sides. That is my want. And I laid out an arrangement whereby I would present, and then we'd come to a blank slide. Because this is so visual, I had it all laid out. And then David Weiss and his friend Austin would have the opportunity to respond. And I began, with some very general observations, asking about the dimensions of the flat Earth. And I can't imagine what could be a more reasonable question. If we know all the properties of Earth as a globe, we have all kinds of calculations, the mass, you know, the circumference, that it's slightly wider at the equator than it is from top to bottom. So what are the dimensions of the flat Earth? You know, what's underneath? What suspends it in space? I mean, honest to God, I don't think a flat Earth is even physically possible, because gravity, every mass attracts every other mass with a force that's proportional to the amount of mass and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them, meaning if you double the distance, you only have 1/4 as much gravity, triple, only 1/9. We understand these laws and how they affect the behavior of objects, whether it's objects on Earth or objects in space. And Newton gave us a synthesis using his universal law of gravity. provide a unified physics for terrestrial and celestial phenomena in the past, up to Newton, though Galileo made a significant dent in the conception, there was a dogma that celestial, meaning heavenly physics, all the bodies, including the moon, stars, sun, other planets, were perfectly round and spherical, and that the motion that was distinctive of celestial objects was circular, inspired no doubt by motion of the moon, Galileo, and that all these heavenly bodies were perfectly smooth and spherical, perfectly smooth and spherical. So what many historians of science regard as the pivotal event in the history of science, when Galileo, inspired by learning that a Dutch lens maker by the name of Van Leeuwenhoek had made a telescope, he produced one of his own design and began looking at the heavenly phenomena. And he discovered, lo and behold, the moon was not perfectly smooth and spherical, but all kinds of pockmarks, irregular. The bishops of Padua sought to debunk this claim by suggesting there must be something about the functioning of a telescope that distorts what you're seeing. But no, of course, Galileo had it right. The church, which at the time combined a blend of Christian theology with Aristotelian cosmology, and where Aristotle thought, you know, Earth was the immobile center of the universe, were doing their best to maintain those religious dogmas in the face of contrary empirical evidence, observations. We get a variation of this today. When you have, for example, an amateur rocket goes up 56 miles above Earth, which is 50 miles higher than commercial carriers, which fly about 6 miles, around 35,000 feet. Most of us, I imagine, have actually taken a flight, at least a whole lot of us. And when you get up 50 higher miles, the curvature of Earth is obvious. I mean, obvious. So we're going to get arguments about, oh, the lens distorts and whatnot. So we're not supposed to believe what we can see with what appears to be a perfectly objective visual report from 50 miles higher than commercial carriers can travel. So when you hear those kinds of arguments, lens distortion and all that, they have a precursor in the bishops of Padua seeking to debunk Galileo's observations of the moon. Then he turned his telescope to other regions of space and discovered the moon's at Jupiter. Now, this is fascinating because Jupiter has three or four moons. They give us a model not only of what's going on here on Earth with our single moon, but even by extrapolation of the relationship of the sun and the planets. Now, prior to Galileo, of course, we had Copernicus, who actually, you know, began by constructing a model of all the motions of all the planets in relation to the sun and Earth, based on the assumption of circular orbits. And he discovered that if you assume that sun is center rather than Earth, you get a much simpler model of how everything is arranged, where the dogma of circular motion for celestial phenomena was shattered by Kepler, based upon the naked eye observation of Tycho Brahe. And Kepler discovered that actually the motion of Earth around the sun was not circular, but elliptical. Think of an egg, the shape of an egg, with the sun at one focus. The sun would be toward the bottom of the egg, and then we get you know, we're much closer. Earth is much closer to the sun at that point, which is why the temperature heats up when we get the summer. And when it's most distant away, we will get less radiation and heat from the sun, and we have winter. And the differences in the effects of being closer, further, are not the same from the northern and the southern hemispheres of Earth because of the tilt of Earth. But it's not the tilt of Earth per se that causes the changes in the weather. It's our proximity to the sun during an annual orbit in our yearly orbit around the sun. So I was seeking to introduce some of this and pointing out that one of the earliest pre-Socratic philosophers, Thales, actually speculated that Earth was a flat disk floating in water. Boom! I was interrupted because they were saying that wasn't their position, but I wasn't attributing that position to them. I was talking about a pre-Socratic philosopher, and what was interesting about his suggestion that Earth was a disk floating in water is he had something to say about what maintains Earth in its position. Now, this unleashed a veritable barrage. I mean, Boston must have laid on, I didn't count them all, but I'll bet you he made 32 different points. If he made one, 32 different points all going to black matter and relativity theory and all that. This was in response to the question of what are the dimensions of Earth? Now, there's this very, very intriguing question of how is it supported? How does Earth remain immobile in space? And some of you may have heard that, among the answers that have been given is that, well, a flat Earth is suspended on the back of an elephant. And then you have to ask, well, and what about the elephant? Oh, the elephant's on the back of a turtle. And what about that? Oh, well, from there, it's turtles all the way down. In other words, you're generating a regress, right? What I don't believe I ever heard, nor was any attempt made to explain why Earth should be the stationary, immobile center of the universe. And honestly, sure, of course, I agree completely. If you look around your house, your neighborhood, everything looks flat. And sure enough, yeah, you're not feeling a breeze from Earth rotating on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. You don't experience that. It's because roughly gravity is keeping everything in place. I mean, you wouldn't feel that on your if you're on a train traveling 80-100 miles an hour. My wife and I once went through the Channel and went to Paris from London, and the train got up to over 120 miles an hour. But we felt perfectly comfortable and stable. And as I've explained before, it is logically possible to adopt the belief that anywhere is the immobile stationary center of the universe if you're willing to make sufficiently drastic alterations in your other beliefs. So if you're on the train going 120 miles an hour, but you want to maintain you're actually motionless and stable, then all of a sudden, all the countryside is flying by at 120 miles an hour. I mean, this is just the relativity of motion. You don't have to go full bore Einstein, though eventually you would get there. For Einstein showed that Newton's theory, classical physics, the three laws of motion, and the law of universal gravitation, where Newton assumed that all space-time relations are absolute, turn out not to be, that the relative sequence of events, which according to Newton, every event occurs at the same time as or earlier than or later than every other event in the universe. Einstein showed it's actually relative to what are known as frames of reference. And that's terribly important, and I'm illustrating with this very simple case of the train trip. Now, is it logically possible to maintain Earth as flat and immovable? Yes. As long as I say you're willing to make sufficiently drastic alterations in your other beliefs. But it would be nice if we had some of the most basic information about this flat Earth. How wide is it? You know, how broad is it? How deep is it? If you go to the edge, you're going to fall off. If not, why not? I think those are perfectly legitimate questions. And I've heard, you know, flat earth deniers say that's not a fair question. Well, why isn't that a fair question? And what maintains Earth in its position in space if it's this flat, immobile object? So, you know, I just want to say there are relatively simple proofs. It seemed to me the one, the talk about the Mercator, the two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional Earth, if you assume Earth actually is flat, then you can, for example, you can figure out airline routes that look wildly disparate. I mean, some completely longer than others, that if that were an accurate representation would mean the flights between these points ought to take dramatically different amounts of time. And yet it turns out when you actually consult the times of the flights between the various cities, the one that looked on the map to be much longer actually takes less time than the one that you look at the map is shorter, which is explicable if we're talking about a three-dimensional object in flights along the curved surface of Earth. I never got to what is probably the single most telling about the rotation of Earth on its axis, but remember, we got the difference between day and night. We got the months of the year. By the causal theory of time, the units of time are defined by repetitious uniform motions of causal processes, such as the rotation of Earth on its axis every 24 hours enables us to divine the hours of the day. And, of course, moons circling Earth about every 28 days. Where we have, you know, 30 days after September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31 except February, which has 28, and in leap year, 29. Why leap year? Because Earth, in its orbit around the sun, takes 365 and a quarter days. So every now and then, we got to do a leap year. We got to jump ahead to make up for the quarter of a day. I mean, a very nice point was made by Brian, I believe, who called in and talked about Foucault's pendulum. You got a free-swinging pendulum. It just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But because Earth is rotating, you have a plate beneath a pendulum that moves as Earth rotates beneath a pendulum. You could not have a more simple and direct proof of the rotation of Earth. So I want to just invite everyone, put on their thinking cap. I haven't looked at the comments on BitChute for the flat Earth, but I have a pretty good idea what I'm going to find. I'll just say I'm doing my best to get both sides discovering that Earth was in motion and that all the planets are related to the sun by laws that Newton discovered, which turned out to be a special limiting case of a broader theory of space-time espoused by Einstein, but were nevertheless for regions that are relatively modest in relation to the size of the universe and speeds or causal processes that are relatively brief or short or slow in relation to the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, Newtonian physics absolutely 100% applies. So, you know, don't be misled by claims that, you know, Einstein has shown all physics is wrong. No, Einstein's a culmination of a history of physics developed over 2,000 years. And I even sought to go back to Eratosthenes, who discovered that on the same day, at different locations, in this case in Egypt, light was casting no shadows in some locations, but shadows in others, indicating we're talking about a sphere, and he even made a calculation of the approximate circumference of Earth based upon those shadow differences. So what you had coming from David and Austin was arbitrarily moving the distance of the Earth around. So instead of being at a distant point where you're only going to have parallel lines, unless you're talking about, say, a spherical surface, they sought to produce shadows by moving Earth arbitrarily closer. Frankly, if Earth were as close as they provide, we'd be toast. Earth would have been long since incinerated. So I got to tell you, I mean, I reached a point of exasperation because we're not talking about, you know, an objective scientific debate. We're talking about a pseudo debate where some parties are simply willing to make arbitrary differences in rearranging things that are not justifiable, not sustainable, outright falsehoods. And I know by the time we get to the end of the show and I open the lines, there's going to be at least one voice claiming that I've been unfair, that I haven't given them the opportunity. I mean, I set the whole damn thing up so they'd have the opportunity to speak as long as they wanted. By the way, I was very put off by them wanting me to exclude this video that I think is impeccable about surveying, and how surveyors must take into account the curvature of Earth in the construction of buildings and bridges, or they would collapse. He went on some rant that this guy is supposed to be a liar, and of course, those of you listen, to lie is to say something you know to be false, but assert to be true with the intention of misleading a target audience. He wasn't lying. He was basing it on a textbook for surveying, and he was explaining how surveyors go about doing this. Every single point he made, so far as I can tell, was impeccable. And I have in the past had a surveyor who I think has simply given up the ghost because, you know, no one will pay attention to his explanations. So I can't regard myself, I do not regard myself as an expert on all aspects of this, certainly having earned a PhD in the history and philosophy of science, for the history of science is dominated by the history of physics and astronomy, I know better. And I'm simply trying to share some of that background and knowledge. I mean, the whole damn thing is absolutely fascinating in many different ways. But I just invite you all to give this a lot of thought, you know, think it through. There's a whole lot going on here. Remember, in order to buy flat Earth theory, you have to reject the results of modern physics and astronomy. You have to reject the results of two of the most basic sciences known to man. And I mentioned in passing where you can find two books, The Birth of a New Physics with I.B. Cohen and The Copernican Revolution by T.S. Kuhn. These are absolutely standard works by eminent historians of science for you to contemplate. Okay? I mean, look, when they couldn't even tell me what were the dimensions of Earth, and I got this business about drilling 8 miles into the core, I mean, how did that answer the question? I do not believe there was any explanation of how the flat Earth remains suspended, not even from there it's turtles all the way down. I mean, just think about it. And it appears that's because they don't want to acknowledge even the role of gravity. And I'm telling you, when they reach that point, I think you've actually lost the debate. So those are a few thoughts I wanted to share. I know when we get to questions, there are going to be comments disputing even everything I just said. I want to introduce at least one story that is so staggering, it's going to blow your mind. There is no more room. New York City considers housing illegal immigrants in Central Park. In Central Park. New York City officials are considering housing illegal immigrants in iconic Central Park as local politicians said all options are on the table as the city attempts to deal with thousands of newcomers each week. As reported by Tim Kass, New York City Mayor Eric Adams already said that from this moment on, it's downhill. There is no more room. Well, his office acknowledged that more than 95,000 migrants have arrived since the spring of 2022, with hotels at capacity. Hundreds of migrants have been seen sleeping on city sidewalks, often on pieces of cardboard, littering the streets with trash and clothing in what looked like extremely inhumane conditions. Everything is on the table, Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services and William Isom said Wednesday. The city is reportedly looking at 3,000 locations for possible housing relief. William Isom added, the system is at a breaking point in response to questions about housing the migrants in parks. That was the idea. The Cloward-Piven plan was to bring in so many into the U.S. on welfare that would break the system, cause us to collapse economically. They've done this by bringing in millions of migrants who have no place to sleep. Think about it. What's going to happen to New York City and this nation? We'll be right back with John Martin.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's always a pleasure to feature my guest today, John Carman, who's been here numerous times in the past. John, if anyone has any doubt that the Biden admin is out to destroy America, how can they not look at New York City and draw the obvious conclusion? I get the feeling Democrats are in such a state of bewilderment and false belief, they can't even acknowledge the obvious any more than the Bishop of Padua could admit that the surface of the moon was all pockmarked and rocky. What the hell is going on, John?
Well, it's satanic at best. You know, they're stepping over the line. They don't care. That's an actual quote from that guy, Fat Alvin Bragg, the black prosecutor up in New York. He doesn't care that the statute of limitations ran out. He doesn't care about all these things. That's the whole point of it, folks, is that people need to understand. Once you've reached that point where they don't care, that means they're willing to do anything to overcome, take you over, control you, or worse, maybe even put you to death, because that's just what they're doing. They're playing the game, and nobody's doing anything. And people think the white hats are going to come and do something. The MAGA groups, the military, the special 200 generals that were supposed to come in and all this stuff, and I'm looking at it carefully, and the first thing that these left-wing snowflake type people do, they're not properly trained. Their only example is to respond with an emotional response, and I've seen this on humans throughout my years, is if you tell them something, they try to emulate you and copy your response as if they generated it or if they did it themselves. They plagiarize against you. So what are they doing? Trump knows it was a stolen election. If they had Dominion servers and proof, if it was me, I would have done the Insurrection Act. Even Michael Flynn was quoted about stuff like that as well. Trump said he was going to go into Seattle and clear that place up in an hour. Well, he commonly says stuff like that. If he had control of something, he could do the Ukrainian dispute in less than 24 hours or something and have it ended, which would be good. But a lot of people don't understand. The other side of the coin is they still want to come back and try to plagiarize something. Now they're throwing it back at Trump saying he's the one that did a illegal election thing. He's the one that did an insurrection act or an illegal act when he was doing a speech in Washington, and that he encouraged people to go on January 6th. And he said, no, it was always peaceful. You could protest. It's within our rights in the United States of America. Freedom of speech is part of exhibiting, even to the point of, what's the term? I'm trying to think of the term. Passionate in debate. Very passionate. In other words, they say, yeah, you can get into a screaming match. You can get out there and do all kinds of stuff, but it's very passionate. In other words, they tone it down with a special term that says it's okay to do all this stuff. And you and I know that January 6th was a big setup. They bust in BLM. They bust in Antifa. They had undercover FBI agents that looked obvious like FBI, wearing their khaki pants, a golf shirt, or a windbreaker or something. And it was so set up, it was a mess. There were so many factions. And by the way, I've seen this before, protesters at the border, protesters in Washington, D.C. when I was Secret Service, now, Foreign Missions Division covering the embassies and so forth. You may get a group of people that are one group, but you might have splinter groups that try to interject themselves to to start something, they may even throw a Molotov cocktail. They may throw a rock. They may do something worse. And then after all the stuff starts going, then they back out and escape. Those are the tactics of the communists that go way back for ages. But the Democrats are doing the same thing. Like all the people that Soros and all these other people hired, and they had all these brick stations set up in Washington, D.C., all along major routes near the White House and so forth. Really? You could just walk over to a little brick station, pull out bricks, and hand them around like they're free samples, you know. But it just goes on and on. You know, I mean, the stuff is there. It's very apparent to you and me, or you and I. And we see these things, but other people don't get it. They don't study it. They're busy slaving. They're tax slaves. They're busy paying taxes so that people like Biden can send trillions of dollars to the Ukraine, which is a big ATM. If you look at the map, that's what it is. It's an ATM. When in doubt, you start a war. When in doubt, you get some other conflict, especially when you're being investigated by the Department of Justice or the Congress. And what's Mayorkas doing this week? Why hasn't he been taken out yet? Literally. The guy has to be taken out. So much stuff going on at the border and things like that.
But, well, look at New York. Look at New York, John. I mean,
yeah.
Wealthy people have already left the city because of the high crime rate.
Yep.
But now you're going to have an infestation of migrants in Central Park. Central Park is what makes New York City tolerable, what makes New York City livable. You got a place you can go and you can have recreation. You can get away from the madness of the streets and the noise of the crowd. That's going to be undone.
Yeah, it's taken migrants away.
It's going to be a den of thieves, murderers, rapists. I mean, it's going to be disgusting. Nobody's going to be willing to go into Central Park if they make this a camp for the homeless, for these refugees. These people are, many of them are savages. I mean, it's just outrageous what's going on. So I think the city is going to collapse. I mean, it's already bankrupt. I think it's going to absolutely collapse, and we're going to have gangs taking control of certain territories, and your life is going to be at great risk. When the rich move out, then you lose, of course, all the income that derives from taxation by the city, which has phenomenally high tax rates, of course. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a lower base. They're going to have a lower revenue base to tax. That means it's a downward spiral of decay and decadence and dysfunctionality that is being brought on by the deliberate policies of the Biden administration. John, this is just as repulsive and disgusting as it gets.
Well, you just pointed out a good point. Since I work the streets, law enforcement, you can measure how well the city looks or is doing by the amount of transients and homeless people in the streets. It's getting worse in San Diego. It's been worse in any Democrat-led city, any of them. Look at a Democrat-led city. You'll see homeless, encampments, transients, crime rates, drug use, all that stuff. And you could go out anywhere in most major cities. It's just getting worse. Even the police contacts I have, I talk to them about activity of certain types, and they're basically overwhelmed. So they won't handle lower level type things, but they have to prepare because it's going to get to the point where people have to carry their own weapon. They're going to have to exercise the Second Amendment. You can't go into certain cities or states that are Democrat run because they don't want you to have a weapon. But yet they won't do anything about the criminals that do it. And it's just it's a common occurrence. They don't know what they're doing. They're operating willy-nilly, haphazardly, and you look at all the profiles. Now, I profile for a living. I've been processing people at the border for 15 years when I was at U.S. Customs. You know, I was a Secret Service and San Diego PD, private investigator, U.S. Mint at the Mint in San Francisco where the gold was, and then U.S. Customs 15 years. So I've got an extensive background. You look at the profiles of these cities, and every time I look at them, oh, well, they don't want to say the suspects were black. They just said it on a newscast yesterday. Two suspects were black, and they were seen exiting or going left, right, north, south, east, west. That's what you have to tell the cops to look out the suspects. They're not looking for white. They're not looking for Hindu Pakistanis, Chinese, Asian, or other categories, not to mention Samoans. You know, those guys kind of stand out a little bit. You know, they're big guys. But it's all part of the profiling. Then you look at the police chief, the mayor of New York. What's his name? The mayor of New York, he gets out there and does his typical weekly thing out there. And they just had another incident where a crane dropped. I just happened to catch that story just several days ago. And that caused damage. So everybody has the ability to go out there and do a newscast. Or the trees that were uprooted in another part of the state. That was another incident. And yet I called people up. Were you affected by the storm? They said no. So it was a unique occurrence. They use every opportunity to get up there and try to rest assured that they're taking care of things. They got programs. You could dial 211 or do some other procedure. There are a lot of them are just diversions. They're just trying to soft touch it. You know, like 9/11, all of a sudden, all the politicians came out of the woodwork. Even Hillary Clinton was out there. Giuliani, all these people. They're doing is politician stuff. They're not highly trained like some of the other people that are in law enforcement or fire first responders. So you see the patterns, you know. The black female chief that gets up there from one other state, backed up by a bunch of blacks. I mean, well, where are the white officers? Is it all black? I mean, is it Baltimore, Washington, D.C.? Is it Tennessee, Memphis, or some other state? Be honest. Just show who's working there. You know, it's usually intermixed, but where's the balance? See, that's the point. There's no balance. Then, of course, they'll yell that you're racist. No, I worked in D.C. I worked around a lot of cultures, a lot of people.
John, your points are impeccable. I mean, anyone who reviews crime rates understand that blacks commit overwhelmingly more crimes in every category except those related to alcohol, where liquor-related offenses are committed more frequently by Native Americans because they have a genetic incapacity to absorb alcohol. But in every other category, I mean, across the board, blacks predominate. There are some areas where Latinos may take the lead. I think in 2014, in terms of rapes, while blacks predominated in murders across the board, Latinos actually had a slight edge over blacks in terms of rape. But it was just stunning, really, when you look at the statistics, how the Democrats are in total denial. Now, if you don't look at the facts, you're not going to be able to fashion policies that are responsive to the situation you're in because you exactly. don't know what situation you're in.
It's pure logistics.
Your points about Democrat mayors and cities, John, are also spot on because that's where you find the highest murder rates. The highest violent rate is in these Democrat-controlled cities because they're not willing to enforce the law based upon some indefensible belief about equity, you know, that blacks have been punished disproportionately because there are more of them in jail than there are proportionately in the population. But that's because they're committing the crimes. You know, the Democrats seem to believe everyone has an equal propensity to commit crime, which is ridiculous. I mean, John, what the hell has happened here? Is our whole society gone stark raving mad?
Yes, and the profiles are constantly changing now with Biden's program, illegal Trojan horse invasion, is that you're getting a lot of Middle Eastern people coming in more than usual. You got people coming from Europe. You know, not to mention Ukrainian. When you came to the border at San Ysidro from Mexico, they had Ukrainians trying to get in, but as soon as the Russians showed up, they blocked the Russian. They denied them. They don't get it.
The Russians are much better people than the Ukrainians. The Russians are a moral society of people who, most of whom are Christians who believe in the values that most Americans share, unlike the Ukrainians. I mean, that's maybe the most corrupt society on the face of Earth.
Well,
so
exactly.
The idea the United States is extolling the virtues of Ukraine and denigrating Russia is an inversion of values. It's just preposterous. And the average American has no idea, John, no idea.
San Diego is second only to Michigan with Islamic people. That includes every Middle Eastern country that may be Muslim or not. Somalis in San Diego, you got Arabic people, you got Chaldeans. Now, a lot of Iraqis that came across the border, they knew that they had to tell you that they're Christian to get in. Otherwise, they wouldn't let them in because they were part of the old regime from Saddam Hussein. There were bits of their uniforms and their patches left in the desert near Yuma. So you got people that run liquor stores. They do all kinds of jobs that most Americans normally don't do, but that's just what they have available. But they also have a lot of money being supported from the Biden administration. They give these people that are coming to their country Social Security cards that they never earned. They didn't work for it. They're not entitled to it. They give them $10,000. That was from a whistleblower for years now. Social Security card, an ID card in the various states, and then they give them a registration for Democrat because they're being told. They'll do whatever they can, lie, cheat, steal to get in. Once they're in, they have their own network like a mob where they organize crime and they're organized terrorists. So we have organized terrorists in the country since Obama's worse, and it all trails back to the same things. Every time they blame it on somebody else, you can believe it's not them, it's somebody else that really is doing the job, you know, the dirty work or the crime. It all tracks back to the profiling again. If you look at the cross-section of the people in your area, no matter what state, you start looking at the influx. A lot of these people are uneducated. They don't speak very much English. If they do, they're educated up to a point. Some of them got jobs because they were doing something for the government. They had a fast-track visa system, which allowed them to become resident aliens in less than 2 years, especially if they assisted our military in the other country, Iraq or one of the other countries. Afghanistan was a total failure, and yet that's what they want you to look and believe. That's where a lot of opium, the world's largest opium, came from Afghanistan. And then Biden basically bailed out, left all that money there. $85 billion worth of equipment and money and truckloads and pallets full of $100 bills. That was a payoff. And then they go back and then they sell it to the black market by proxy. Now, remember, the CIA always works by proxy. They don't do something direct. They do it for their other guy who's connected to the third guy down the line who's the enemy. You know, they always use a proxy. That's part of the game, so that you can't ever trace it back. I wanted to recommend. Somebody told me to watch a movie called The Accountant with Ben Affleck, 2016. That's a good movie for people to look at just to get a basic idea of stuff. It's about a two-hour movie, but it was very educational if you have a background and you can understand that stuff. But here we go again. You know, nobody's doing anything. They're charging a former president. Well, they didn't do anything with Obama, and he was born in Mombasa, Kenya. They're not doing anything to the Clintons. That's where somebody failed during the Trump administration. Sessions was a waste of time. Barr was a waste of time. Didn't make any serious arrests over 1,000 or 3,000 or even 100,000. And they've got enough for sealed indictments for people all over the country.
John, I can't resist giving your background with the Secret Service. We have the death of the chef in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, yeah.
Obama has these cuts on his hand and a black eye.
We had a phone call,
and the Edgartown Police Department would identify who made the phone call. This is Sunday evening, saying he was on a paddleboard dressed all in black, and he fell in the water and didn't come back up, and so they were sitting there watching him on the paddleboard. Then we have, you know, the report there was a second person on paddleboard with him when he went under. They won't identify him either. I believe the call was from Michelle. I believe the other paddleboarder was Barack. I believe they had an altercation probably in the kitchen. Barack's had numerous sexual harassment of men complaints in the past. This guy was a handsome guy. I bet he appealed to Barack, but he's also married. He's got two kids. I think he didn't want to play.
Yep.
And they got into an argument, and he killed him. And, of course, you know, the kids were at home, so they had to get him out of Dodge. So they put him on planes the following day. But this is how it seems to me to add up. I mean, John, how do you piece together this case?
Well, when I was in Secret Service, I did not anticipate that they would use the agents and the agency to cover up any kind of crimes, that you're still a federally sworn law enforcement official, and you're supposed to take action. And if I even saw the indicators, which I did before I left, was that there were cover-ups and they didn't want to take action. But let me explain that Obama is an avid basketball player, and basketball can be a little rough if you play with certain people, and they can be a little rough. Now, if a guy ends up with injuries like I saw on his leg, left leg, knee area, scrapes, that's a fall. That's a pretty serious fall. And then taped up fingers as if maybe dislocated or broken or something like that.
Cut,
that's
perhaps.
Pretty serious. Yeah. You know, so I've seen guys in basketball get broken teeth and cut lips and stuff like that. I never got injured.
Are his injuries being attributed to playing basketball?
No. I'm just saying he has a propensity to play basketball. He's sportslike, yeah. But those are not injuries consistent with basketball.
Yeah.
That looks like something where they got into a scuffle, fell down the stairs in a serious fight, and I'm surprised it didn't look worse, because if you're fighting for your life, it can get worse. But for them to do something like that makes it sound like, well, maybe somebody else was there, maybe they intervened, or it's two against one or something, and it can get nasty. You know, after that, you start seeing cover-ups, like when Hillary allegedly threw a vase and hit Bill, or he got a black guy or something. Then they would avoid press conferences for a week or two or something to hide whatever till it was healed up or something like that.
Yeah.
It's all tied in. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on there that doesn't make sense. And I've seen a lot of the fun photos that people have posted out there, and I go, yeah, that's kind of an indicator. But for a guy he was a healthy guy.
Unlike the Clintons, who have a body count that I think runs up to 200,
these
intermediaries, they're very sophisticated. See, the Obamas aren't sophisticated. I mean, they got a death on their hands. They really didn't know what to do with it, and they wound up being very amateurish.
Exactly.
My prediction is it will turn out Michelle made the phone call to make it suggest he was still alive Sunday and in the water of the Edgartown Great Pond when he actually was already dead.
Right.
And that Brock was there, you know, he loves a paddleboard, to deposit the body, which was only found later. And they won't identify. I mean, when they won't identify key players, the one who made the 911 call, the one who was there in the water, I mean, that is unbelievably telling, in my opinion. Well,
that's also GPS locating, which I tell people all the time to get that depth protection thing. Because it blocks the signal a certain way. There's the card. But deafprotection.com, I don't know if it'll show up. There you go.
Yeah, it does. It does. We can see it.
The point is, DNA, I want to say this. You got to understand that in case you get into a fight with somebody, you're going to have a transference of DNA. If you have really good fingers, if you have a device, I think some people had a military-grade type of a pen. Even if you used a pen, here's a typical Bic pen, sort of. There we go. Bic pen. But if you get a scrape, you could get a transfer of DNA. I'll bet you anything, they've got DNA under his nails or on his body, even the scrapes and stuff. You're going to transfer DNA, blood, bodily fluids, stuff like that, saliva. They're covering that up because they probably already know who the assailant was at a certain time, unless they're going to cover it up and say, oh, it was in the water too long. Salt water dissipates and blah, blah, blah. Hair transfer. You get involved with a fight with somebody, you're going to get hair, something, you know. So if you get a piece of the other person, so to speak, you're going to definitely have some sort of transfer and have a sample of who attacked you. And that's probably the most important thing, is to get a piece of them. But it's more of a cover-up. I've actually talked to Clinton bodyguards. I knew Larry Nichols. I talked to him at length for years before he passed away a couple of years ago. And talked to the bodyguards, the troopers that were involved, and they were all on the run, fearing that they would be killed off. Because if you were a resident like Vince Foster was of Arkansas, And when he was killed in Washington, D.C., he didn't commit suicide, that they automatically use a state law because, oh, he's a resident of Arkansas, therefore they could take the body and cremate it within less than 72 hours, probably 24 if they really want to hurry, and claim some guy's head got eaten up by a chihuahua and then bury the body and cremate everything. See, that's what they do is a cover-up, and they're doing it right in everybody's face like the satanic people they act like. And I go, what's going on? Why don't they do something about it? See, so it doesn't make sense. And I go back years to 95 when I went public, exposing corruption. So all those things tie in. But it's kind of like you got people at the White House that smoke dope. You got people that supposedly smoke dope on top of the rooftop, famous people, movie stars, guests, whatever. And I didn't see that kind of illegal activity when I was there. I was more worried about fence jumpers, people carrying weapons. I've stopped and detained news media who are in restricted areas, like Judy Woodruff. Hi, Judy. How you doing, Judy? She didn't have her pass on. She was peeking around that area, if I could kind of sit to the side. If you go straight through those the magnolia trees off to the left, that's the main mansion, that's the residence, et cetera, et cetera. But off to the left of that is like an access way. Off to the left of that is the walkway that goes towards the Oval Office. And she happened to come out of her area, which was restricted without her pass, to peek around. And I'm standing right there and I caught her. Real simple.
Yeah. At least she was trying to find some news, though, John. You know, I think she was legit, even if she was using improper practices.
Yeah, that was during Ford.
Yeah.
And then after that, Carter. But then I stopped Barbara Walters and her driver in a limo. Here we go. Down, follow this circle all the way down to the left, and that's an entrance gate off to the left. There's an entrance gate off to the other direction.
Hold that thought, John. We'll be right back with John Carman after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
John, I got another doozy of a story to share with you, but let me ask this. Could my scenario of them, say, having a fight in the kitchen or whatnot and disposing of by take place without Secret Service being aware?
Yes and no. They're usually stationed in the house, perimeter, entranceways, things like that, and yet they claimed that Hunter Biden, when he was at his hotel and had female guests and so forth, that the Secret Service was calling him up on his phone to check on him, which sounds ludicrous because it's like they're almost like giving him a heads up to clean up his act or do something. Otherwise, they're going to just come on in. They should have had a pass key anyway, you know, if it gets to whatever. There's a certain amount of privacy they allow. But then there's another part that it's a risk. It's a security risk. They have to be able to have access to protect. And if they can't protect, then they're not doing their job. And unfortunately, I was reminded of this movie, Bruce Willis movie, The Last Boy Scout. In that movie, he was an ex-Secret Service agent who actually prevented the assault, the sexual assault by the president. And I guess he broke his jaw or something like that. And I guess he had to leave the agency. Well, that happens, right? But when they're committing heinous crimes, they're committing felonies, or they're committing serious crimes, it's the duty of the agent to take and intervene. And sometimes they will intervene. And I've heard stories about certain people like Hillary or Bill might have gotten into a fight. It's your obligation to intervene to prevent assaults no matter what, because the president is the elected official, not the first lady. So if the first lady decides to get involved, she's assaulting the president of the United States, guess what? By law, she could be charged. But, of course, you know how that gets kind of handled. You know, it kind of gets lost by the wayside. But there are things going on that they don't want people to talk about that apparently are a lot worse than what we hear, you know. So a little bindle of something that happened to be dropped off somewhere does not account for the pockets of the person that's protected, the protectee, on what they're carrying. But they're watched most of the time. But I don't think they're being patted down by their duty agent or their detail agent. They're not being checked and having them empty their pockets, searched, so that they can go, okay, you're clean today. Don't screw up. and then let the guy go through. But it's not that kind of control. There has to be a meeting of the minds. There has to be an agreement that they're going to take care of them. But if they screw up, they have to let them know what the consequences of their actions thing. And it gets really serious.
Is it possible on Martha's Vineyard, they got this $12.5 million estate, very plush, that this could have happened, the sequence I'm contemplating, this is my speculation, that he came onto the chef who resisted, they got into an altercation, he wound up killing him but suffered some wounds himself, they had to figure out how to dispose of the body, Michelle made a phony phone call to create the impression that he was still alive when he was already dead and that he was on the water to change the location of where he died and give a fake cause of death.
I question a lot of things in that.
Going
back to a couple of movies, all the cameras that are involved, if they're in that building, there's got to be security cameras, no different than the sound devices that Nixon didn't want to talk about at the Oval Office, at the White House. Fiber optic cameras. There was even a drone in D.C. that I saw up in the air that's in violation of the restriction unless it was authorized by Secret Service or law enforcement. So they've got all these things that are backup systems that can find out what happened visually, fiber optic cameras, security cameras, things like that. Unfortunately, it's going to get to the level where they're going to do cover-ups, you know. Now, if you go by the Muslim standard, Obama is a Muslim. He was born in Mombasa, Kenya. He's not a Christian, but he can lie to you about it under taqiyya. A lot of people don't understand those things. If you're not a Muslim, they can lie to you, just like other religions that can lie to you too, like the Jewish Hebrew thing where they can talk about the goy. You know, if you're not Jewish or Hebrew, Well, if they can do that, then they could kill you too. They could lie, cheat, steal, and even kill you and still be within their religious belief system, which is what one thing they don't want to cross over. And yet, I just saw something for Robert David Steele and John McAfee on another outside source. I investigated the John McAfee murder. He did not commit suicide, in my opinion, at a prison in Spain.
Right.
Robert David Steele, I knew him for years. Him and Cynthia McKinney, UNRIG, U-N-R-I-G, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was talking about some very prophetic information about, the Israelis did the Twin Towers. It was all connected Mossad thing, the whole nine yards, but nobody talks about it. Why aren't we at war with Israel, basically? That's what it ends up. But no, we have to absorb them or they're absorbing us. Who's controlling it? Who are the people at the top? The Rothschilds, the Jewish people. And I've got nothing against Jewish people or whatever. I protected them in Washington. I protect everybody. The Israeli Mossad, the embassies, the ambassadors from all these countries, you name it, I protected them. So it's always these deep state undercover black ops people that commit terrorism. And yet Ehud Barak, I just forgot this one. Not the other Barak, but Ehud Barak, who was a prime minister, was head of Mossad, was one of the agents that was involved in the Munich massacre retaliation afterwards through Golda Meir. They've got movies on stuff like that. It just so happens Ehud Barak was visiting, this came out just recently, that he was visiting New York. The president is the only one that can give them Secret Service protection in those days. You don't have to go through the DHS secretary, although Mayorkas pretends that he has to go through a committee to get protection for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which they're denying. And two Secret Service agents flew with Ehud Barak to Zorro Ranch, just north of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Jeff Epstein had his special ranch set up with special cameras and all kinds of stuff because he was collecting information and data. Well, it turns out that Alamogordo, White Sands, New Mexico, and a couple other places connected to the Manhattan Project is connected to what Jeff Epstein was actually really doing, was collecting information and giving it back and sending it back to Israel and other countries. So he was acting much more than what you saw on the surface. That other stuff was just eye candy for what he was really doing. Now, that's a serious allegation. Robert David Steele and I had communication. Somebody put out a rumor that he had died last year, September, October, November. So it'd be September. I got an email, something about he had died. And I said, that's BS. So I contacted him and asked him, hey, Robert, if you died, would you please let me know? Because I have to cancel your boy's life or your Playboy subscription thing. You know, that's a sarcasm, but the question is obvious what I'm getting at. He responds back and says, oh, I was just tired of the harassment and the BS and all the other stuff that's going on. And that man is one of the highest rated people I've ever known, CIA, intelligent, and he explains the truth very clearly. There's no lying in him. You know, I mean, I don't see any deception.
John, you wouldn't know, collaborated on two memoranda for the President of the United States, each of which had about 30 contributors, one about Sandy Hook and the other about 9/11.
There you go.
So if Robert is still, I'm going to put a link to where you can download the memorandum I did with Robert and I did together for Trump on 9/11 in the description of this when I put it up on BitChute, so everyone can download. But you're telling me RDS actually is still alive.
I'm not sure. I don't think so, because 90 days to the day on or about November 29th, sounds like my police reports, on or about this date and time, that's how you may start a report. Then it was him in a hospital. I've seen pictures. I've got pictures with him and some lady I know that's in a wheelchair. It's a very good picture, but he would go on some of these truth tour things, which are a lot of it is BS, because those other people don't have a background or training. People were trying to give him food. Some unknown persons of female background tried to give him something like food or something, and as soon as they weren't looking, he would give it to an assistant or a person, and they would dump it. But the problem is, that's how assassinations are done. Poisoning. Poisoning is at the top of the list, the easiest to do, untraceable type elements that they can get, touch. Even the guy that was the relative to Kim Jong-un, a female went up, took a scarf and wiped it across his neck or something. She got him contaminated with a special poison. He died within hours. So they've been trying to kill him openly, and people don't get that. And the last picture I saw of him was he was in a hospital bed with a mask, intubated and all that. Of course, they're going to write it off and say it's COVID or something. So I haven't heard. All of his emails dropped, his phone contacts dropped, everything. His family still maintains something, but you'd have to keep it signed up. But no contact. Unless it's like Gene Chip Tatum, also a CIA pilot. He supposedly faked his death, and I heard from Mike Rupert years ago, before he committed suicide, somebody had cut off Gene Chip Tatum's head, and his body was found somewhere in Costa Rica on a beach somewhere. And I said, okay, that doesn't sound right. And Mike Rupert was very animate and was very emotional about it. And I knew Mike. He wouldn't act like that. And we were associated and knew Gary Webb. He committed suicide. There's a pattern.
But when you talk about suicide, it's in quotes, right? Because you're really implying they were taken out. They were suicided.
Yes, exactly that. Later on, Gene came out, but they charged him in the United States for faking his death. I mean, if that's the case, they could fake a lot of people's deaths and charge them, but they're not doing anything. If they're under witness security, that's a special program. I'm not getting on witness security, and nobody's called me in to testify before Congress. No congressman, no senators will respond to any of my contacts. That means I have to ask people like you or other people I know to contact them independently. They still are blocking me from contacting and releasing information because they know I've got serious information that shows that they violated the law. And I want to say this favorite thing that me and Scott Bennett like to say is 18 U.S.C. Section 4, misprison of felony. Anytime you give information regarding a violation of law to a public official who is elected or not, law enforcement, prosecutors, state or local or federal, judges, congressmen, senators, all the way to the White House, Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, Chuck Grassley, who claims he's backing whistleblowers, which is a lie, because nobody ever helped me out of his office. And then if you call their office, they're going to say, oh, yeah, what's your zip code? I said, no, I'm under death threats right now. I'm not giving you my actual location due to safety. And that's the game. They play a game. So they don't. The people do not run the country anymore. It's the Congress and the Senate, like the feudal system back in England, back in the 12, 1500s or whatever, something like that. So it's crazy.
Well, that's all fascinating stuff. Yeah, I was very keen on Robert. I thought he was outstanding. And
He is. I'm still not sure yet. Till they show me body bags, pictures, autopsy photos, and other stuff, they're going to continue to hide things. But every time we get lied to, people keep saying, oh, no, it's going to happen any day. You know, any day they're going to do like 175,000, 100 sealed indictments, and then that's the stall. People need to wake up, or WTF, wake the you-know-what up.
Yeah.
You ask, where's the proof? Oh, but it's going to happen. Where's the proof? Oh, they just did this in Gitmo. Where's the proof? It's a game. It's constant. It's psychological warfare. We're under a Cold War right now, and people don't get it. That's why I keep trying to tell people. If you don't get that, then you might as well just go back to work, go back to sleep. You tax slave you. That's what they are. They're just tax slaves. And they keep doing the thing for the Illuminati, the Committee of 300, whoever the richest people in the world are. And they're the ones setting up the wars so they can keep benefiting, so they can get their adrenochromes, pedophile activity. Diplomatic art comes to mind. Diplomatic art is an actual term of sea containers or ships, where they ship stuff from one location to another under the guise and the cover of diplomatic immunity and cover, so that even U.S. Customs, unless they have cause or reasonable belief that there's some contraband on it, they don't touch it. And then it goes to some guy's mansion. It could be art, but it could be other things. And I don't know how many bodies are in those containers from China, but there are people smuggling people in from China like nothing. That even years ago, Mexicans from Mexico, about $1,500, $2,000. Brazilians, $6,000 each, even in the trunk of a car. Chinese, at the highest levels, for some weird reason, Chinese, $10,000 a piece, and probably more by now. We're upwards of about, it's always $11 million. They always use the standard, $11 million almost every year, illegals in this country. And they haven't been naturalized unless somebody did a proper procedure in Congress or waived immigration laws on them or somehow got them in under immunity. Or the U visa, which is people I ran into from Brazil, and they came here under threat from their own country. So if you come here as an asylee, you can claim a U visa category program and get in. So they're just letting everybody in under special programs. Somalis, Brazilians, anybody they can to overload the country and put a big D after their name when they register to vote. That's all it is. They're doing the same thing. They're overthrowing the government. They're overthrowing the people.
Yes, very, very, very nice. All that good stuff. I got another story I wanted to share with you that's really revealing, I think, of Democrat politics today. Kavanaugh rape accuser confesses she lied, was never raped, never even met the man.
That's right. I saw it when I first saw it. I can't remember her name, a little squeaky-voiced female. She allegedly
Judy Monroe Lighten.
That's right.
But the others were all lying, too, like Blasey Ford. I mean, it was all disgusting at the time.
That's what they want to do, get somebody to take the fall. They won't charge her with lying before Congress. And Dianne Feinstein specifically brought her in as a whistleblower, and they lie about that too because they allow them to lie, and nobody does anything about it, which means I guess you can go testify before Congress and lie and do it once or twice or three times or more and nothing happens. But it's a violation of law, especially at a federal building. Lying on something like that would be 18 U.S.C. 1001, lying to a federal official. Okay, I could have arrested Barbara Walters for lying to me, claiming she had an appointment with Betty Ford. The managers or the command center didn't want to process it. They didn't want me to arrest her. I could have pulled the cuffs out, cuffed her up. She refused to show ID because she didn't have ID on her. Something's wrong. See what I mean? So there's always a safety issue. But if the Democrats get to lie, cheat, and steal, what's wrong with the Republicans and why don't they do something about it? You know, something's wrong there. And what's interesting is they had that fake alleged live active shooter thing yesterday, right before Trump was supposed to show up in D.C. See what I mean? For his indictment. And they lied to us, saying, oh, he's not going to get a mugshot. Yeah, he is. He's not going to get fingerprinted. Yeah, he is. They're going to process him as if it was nobody else, and they're still going to go through the procedures and let him go. But the point is, they had an active shooter scenario. I was thinking, well, maybe one of the congressmen or senators that is allowed to carry a gun for safety reasons may have decided to shoot it, or maybe they had an accidental discharge. I don't know. But they certainly cleared it out within a couple hours. Everybody went back to work. Nothing happened. Maybe.
John, I want to read this story. This
Go
is
ahead.
Well written. The shit show the Democrats staged at the confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh was a disgusting group denigration of the high office Democrats have been entrusted with. This was borne out again yesterday when Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley made a third criminal referral. This went against a second Kavanaugh accuser, Judy Monroe Lytton. Here's Grassley's letter of referral to Attorney General Sessions and FBI Director Christopher Wray. This is therefore from the past. I am writing to refer Ms. Judy Monroe Lytton for investigation of potential violation of 18 U.S. Code 1001, material false statements, and 1505, obstruction, for material false statements she made to the committee during the course of the committee's investigation. By itself, Monroe Lytton's admission that she lied about Judge Kavanaugh is despicable, but when taken in context of the way the Democrats orchestrated their resistance to Judge Kavanaugh throughout the entire confirmation process, should be disqualifying for high office. I think that means of the Democrats who were complicit in this. It has been admitted by at least one Democrat member of the Judiciary Committee that from the onset, top Democratic senators had been coordinating with the protesters, many of them paid, to disrupt the meeting and to create a false sense of outrage, some in the most despicable manner imaginable. Now, what a stretch is it to use January 6th to disrupt the discussion of there being elements of voter fraud?
It's the same.
Then there was what now appears to be the wholly fabricated accusation of Christine Blasey Ford that involves so many deep state Democrat operatives that a scorecard is required to identify all of them. There's every reason to believe that radical leftist Democrat Senator Kamala Harris had a hand in Monroe Lytton's claims because she was a person who brought Monroe Lytton's letter to the committee's attention. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham became enraged at the Democrats' unwarranted attempt to smear Judge Kavanaugh and make a mockery using unsubstantiated bio claims of what should have been an austere probative examination of the nominee's qualifications. Senator Graham's immediate celebrity in the aftermath of his outbursts reflect the fact that all Americans are or should be asking the question, if Democrats would willingly attempt to destroy the life of a respected, connected judge, what chance do they have against these Stalinists? The good people of Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, what once constituted the Democrat blue wall, came to realize this during the Obama admin when Democrats turned their back on our manufacturing section and the towns that relied on it died. That's so devastating and spot on, John.
Yes, and I quoted the law correctly because you requoted it from a writing, 18 U.S.C. 1001, false statements to federal officials. Also this, people need to understand this. Congress and senators in Congress or in session are allowed to say a lot of things. They have a lot of levity up to a point, but they conspired to violate the law. That's a felony. That's a felony. They can go to prison for zero to life. Conspiring to violate any law before Congress, before an official session, every one of those Democrat congressmen, senators, or whatever, that involved themselves, like Dianne Feinstein, who's mindless right now. I'll tell you, I just saw her on a video just the other day where she's looking at some paperwork, and she looks to some person next to her and didn't know what it was, and then the lady says, just say yay. And then she voted yay. That's an illegal vote. Right there.
Yeah, because she didn't, in fact, know what she was voting on. She wasn't making her own determination of how to vote.
Exactly. Unless it's Pelosi, where she gives you a stack of paper, like, you know, 2 feet deep, and just say, don't read it, just sign it. She said that. Yeah. She said that before. Yeah. Why aren't those people being put before the trials, military tribunals or not, in charge of high treason, 18 U.S.C. 2381, and given a nice vacation to Gitmo with waterboarding sports and 3 meals a day. And then after they give up all the information that we need to know, then you just, that's it. You end it. They don't come back anymore. They're gone. Why does Congress and the Senate have so much levity that they can do that? The people need to rise up on these things because they're violating federal laws against all the humans in this country and the world. They're starting wars. They're doing all kinds of things. You know, we're paying for it. We are the ones who are suffering, and they don't care. That's the point. There are people making money every day, hand over foot, as they say. Some of them are worth millions, and they all benefit. They didn't take the shot. They took the ivermectin. You know, I advertise the ivermectin all the time. And then they have stocked.
Hold that thought, John. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll be taking your calls.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the lines are open, and Mitchell will handle your call. The call-in number, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will let me know you're there. Here's a doozy. Jen Psaki, who used to be the White House press secretary, says any discussion of Biden corruption while Trump is being indicted is a Putin-like tactic. John, can you believe this? Former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki suggests a discussion of Hunter Biden's corrupt business dealings and the president's potential involvement while Donald Trump is being indicted by the Department of Justice is something Vladimir Putin would do. You do understand what she's saying here, right?
Yeah.
Pointing out corruption and potential criminality in the White House is something dictators like Russian President Vladimir Putin engage in, not, you know, relentlessly pursuing, indicting, or jailing political opponents. I'm not sure what color the sky is in Psaki's world, but it has to be a brilliant shade of non-blue. Psaki, currently a host of the left-wing MSNBC network, summarized her thoughts in an analysis of former President Trump's third indictment and arraignment. She expressed disgust that the Biden family scandal is even in discussion at this point. John, can you believe that?
The only reason they try to blame Russia is because that's always the whipping boy. And they could say the word Putin. If they said Xi Jinping, they can't spell it and they can't pronounce it or something. How many White House press secretaries do you know that's named after famous alcoholic drinks like gin and sake?
I hadn't even thought about that.
That's right. Jen Psaki. Think about it. And she's kind of short, too. Psaki. I've seen her.
But, you that's kind of nice, John.
She gets up there and lies about stuff, and every sentence that Jean-Pierre comes up, you have to count how many times on a piece of paper that she starts off with so, and then you watch the other people, like the Air Force General, he'll do the same thing, and the guy from Department of State. They're all telling stories because that's what they do. So they're lying for their administration. It's very insulting. But they couldn't go off to another tangent, talk about another country, because that's the whole thing. Oh, look over there. It's Russia. I've interviewed people in Russia. I got friends in Europe. I've had people like Nick Mancuso on and people from the Russian Federation and Ukraine so we could get updates. Unfortunately, that sort of got squelched for a while because of things going on behind the scenes. And people take advantage of your good nature, and they do take advantage of your context on occasion, and that's what happens. But there's a lot of people I still talk to that are aware of what's going on, and I try to have the best witnesses I can, former law enforcement, whistleblowers, people like Abraham Bolden, who was the one that was the agent, that black agent out of Chicago,
right,
that exposed the assassination on Kennedy. And I'm always finding out more and more every day. They knew that there was going to be a shooting. Bobby Kennedy knew and told his brother, Jack. And then I'm trying to assist, like, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And it turns out they're denying him Secret Service protection, where even Obama got protection in advance because of so many death threats. It only takes one death threat. It doesn't matter. I'm the guy that interviewed Hinckley the first time in front of the White House on a midnight shift in 1976, had him admitted to the agent for a special interview to get him to be admitted to the St. Elizabeth Mental Hospital, and they failed to do it. What's wrong with that story? See what I mean? And then 5 years later, they happen to have that guy positioned with a gun in his hand. Delahunty, Brady, McCarthy the agent got shot. Reagan got hit with a disc. That's not a bullet. They're covering that up because that was a second or third shooter there. It's all the same scenario. Look over there, you know. It's all coming
John,
out.
That story I get about the Reagan shooting is that, of course, Hinckley was just a distraction, though he did shoot Jim Brady. But that Reagan was shot when he was being pushed into the limousine by a Secret Service agent using a flechette that barely missed his heart to convey the message, let George do it.
Well, that's the usual trick question I ask. Who was vice president that week? And a lot of people don't get it. And I said that was Poppy Bush. He would have benefited if the president, Reagan, was incapacitated, step into office, and maybe even run for office even while he was in office and get 8 more years on top of the 2 or 3 or 4 would be the longest serving president, which would have caused our country so much damage. But even when he came in as a director and Carter came in, Carter tried to get cooperation from Bush, and Bush basically blew it off, said, hey, you've got access to the Library of Congress. Go pull out your library card. Go do your own stuff, blah, blah, blah. That's not how you talk to a president. You know, so, I mean, I could tell you all kinds of ins and outs and weird stories. You remember a guy named Stansfield Turner?
Sure.
That guy was through the...
It was Jimmy Carter's national security director. Good man, yeah. From everything, yes. I've heard. Go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna tell the story. Who do you think got him his job? Because when he went through the reception line, he stopped where I was at, right at the North Portico door, on the inside, and he whipped out his card and said, hey, I forgot to give Jimmy my card. Could you give it to him? And I looked at it and said, yeah, Stansfield Turner, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, okay. He even put on the back of it, I would make an excellent CIA director or something.
Yeah.
I didn't make any promises, and I don't normally do that, but it's not a big deal. But I just passed it on to his duty agent, and it got to him. He got selected. Think about it. I didn't get any calls. I didn't get any letters, or not even a postcard saying thank you, or even an offer. That's just a little weird story, but we have to be careful what we hand over and turn over to certain people anyway. But that's just a funny little thing I was reminded of. Hey, I don't know if you want to do it, but I had this tennis ball, and I kept thinking about the flat earth thing that you were talking about earlier, and I go, there's the earth, folks, if you can see the ball. And you go,
yeah.
And when it's traveling through space, there's two theories. One is that the earth is flying through, or the sun is flying through, and everything's flying through, spiraling in space at a constant pace. But the stars never change. See, that doesn't make sense. Venus will still stay in a certain part of the sky no matter what, right? That doesn't make sense, but they're trying to make it look like the sun's traveling, all the planets, all 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 of them this week, are traveling at a speed going through space, but it doesn't make sense. You know, if you want to pull out the flat earth, there's a coin That's the flat Earth, and it's sitting on top of the thing there. But one thing he may have thought about was the fact that the aircraft, when they travel above the Earth at 30,000 feet, as you were talking about earlier, how come they have to adjust their electronics when they're traveling? If it was a flat Earth, they wouldn't have to adjust anything. They have to adjust height and angle when they're traveling around a globe. And if you talk to any pilots that have been above 30,000 feet, they'll tell you, yeah, it's curved. So unless they want to believe the pine cone theory. Here's a pine cone earther. There you go. There you have it, pine cone.
Tell me, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell me about the pine cone earthers.
Well, the pine cone theory is just a weird little sarcasm that I came up with because I happen to like pine cones. I have them decorations, but they're real wool. They're wood, and they're part of a living plant. But if you want to account for all the mountains on the planet, there you go. There's all the mountains on it. See what I mean?
Yeah.
But people will come up with any kind of an idea just to throw you off because they want to play a game and tell a story and see how far they can get you to go with it before you finally say, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. You went to school. You know, they think you're naive or something. And I've talked to people who are so innocent, but that's part of the satanic belief system, is to lie to you right to your face. And if you see the smirk on their face, yeah, their lips are moving. They're lying about something. And I used to evaluate 15 years worth of humans coming across the border. That's 4 to 5 million people. And they're going to give away all kinds of telltale signs of something. They're under stress. Their eyes, their lips may vibrate a little bit. They may smile, a quirky smile, just like this woman that had a gigantic list of people that were allegedly going to Gitmo and were executed. That's a lie, too, because that's not happening. Even Sidney Powell admitted it, that nobody was going. So everybody, depends on who's who, you know.
John, we have a caller from area code 913 caller. Johnny, oh, good. Go ahead. Johnny, lay it on.
You know, well, I'm glad you're having this topic and this great show. And look, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers at all, but I know lots of pilots that know that it's not curved and they don't have to adjust. I can get you a pilot that flies an SR-71 Blackbird if you'd like. I'll try and see if I can't get him on as a guest. But I would just like to say the Big Bang Theory, you know, says that, you know, this huge explosion happened and our solar system was created out of it. And if you go with that, then you deny everything that God says, because Earth was created on the first day. He separated the firmament and put the Earth in there in the midst of the waters. And you guys ignore all that. And then it also says three days later, he created the sun, moon, and stars. So for 3 days, the sun wasn't around. So that is contrary to the Big Bang Theory. So you either believe the Big Bang Theory, which is NASA's lie, which is a Nazi program, or you believe in God, which is, if you need to go research and do some more understanding and have some opposition that understands this fully, because you can't have it both ways. You either are a Big Bang believer or you believe in God. And God does not say, yeah, we live on a spinning ball going 66,000 miles an hour around the sun. That's the craziest nonsense I've ever heard. And I know mathematicians, and I'm trying to be one myself, and all those calculations that the globetards give me, none of them work. They all have fallacies. This is a sick joke. And the reason why they do it is because it hides God. And Satan is working to hide God and get you all to follow him to the pits of hell. And it's going to be a grave mistake. And until you understand that, and you read your Bible, and you believe God, the God of the Bible, you're never going to figure that out. And only God gives the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And that's why most people don't, because they're not aligned with God, and they haven't been given that vision and the ears. And that's why they keep on seeing whatever it is they want or whatever it is thrown in front of their face. You know, Santa Claus is not real, bro. So stop trying to, you know, get us to believe that it is. We know it's not, but because everybody's doing it makes it okay? No. I mean, this is going way too far, and I'm telling you now, there are people out there that are credible that can prove this. You know, I love what you're saying, and I'm willing to listen, but like I said, understand the Big Bang Theory and understand what God says, and if you compare the two, you'll see they're both contrary to each other, and one of them is made up by NASA, which is a Nazi program of lies, and the other one is made by God. Now, who are you going to believe? I mean, this has gone, like I said, way too far, and it's real simple. It doesn't have to be this cumbersome. But I
don't think Big Bang Theory came from NASA, Johnny.
I can prove it.
I mean, no. There are famous physicists who introduce a Big Bang, but there are alternatives to the Big Bang. There's a steady state theory versus a Big Bang. And, you know, if there were a Big Bang, we could have cycles of expansion reaching a limit and contraction and the big crunch and then another expansion, big bang and all that. It's fairly complex. Now, what you're suggesting is those who believe in the Bible are going to reject a big bang and all that. And of course, couldn't agree more with that. There are some of us, like myself as an agnostic, Johnny, who don't believe in God because it's an article of faith. It's something that you cannot prove, but you have to believe independent of proof or even contrary, you know, because we're talking about a transcendent entity beyond space and time that intervenes or not in human affairs, depending on your conception of God. But I don't have the luxury of, you know, taking the Bible to be true. I mean, I'm not in that position. So
I understand.
Well, I respect your position. I'm glad you came in and articulated so clearly how you're looking at this. I like that.
Right. Well, if I may say, I really respect your view too. And everybody's entitled to their own view, and everybody can destroy themselves, or everybody can make or break themselves, or whatever. We have free will and free choice, which I love. But what?
Yes.
The big bangers and these evolutionists are saying. The people that don't believe in God of the Bible, what they're saying is that a baby was just birthed out of nothing and took care of itself. And you know how ridiculous that sounds? Because as soon as that baby cried the first night of darkness, an animal would have scooped him up and he'd have never made it. And I mean, it's just real simple. It's not very hard to figure out. But anyways, I do appreciate you. I really do.
Well, I appreciate it, Johnny, and I thank you for recalling. I thought you were very crystal clear. John, would you like to offer any thoughts about Johnny's observations?
Oh, I get all kinds of discussions. I was raised, I'm a Christian, but I studied Eastern religions as well, because you have to be educated to know what other people believe. So I'm multifaceted. I was baptized. I've lived in the desert 40 days and 40 nights joke. But people don't get that. There's all kinds of segments of the Bible, but those were written, compiled, and it goes back to the Council of Nicaea, and there's a lot of discrepancies in the Bible. Like when they did the sacrifices at the temple, the gods, little g, were pleased with the aroma. And I say, well, I talk to people that are very advanced, DARPA people, military, science, all kinds of other educated people. And sometimes we get into these discussions about Gilgamesh, who lived to be about 46,000 years. And what about Yahweh or the regular Christian God? And somebody would say, oh, he died thousands of years ago. Well, who's got the God watch this week? Because if you don't pray with the proper term, the frequency or the mental telepathy, maybe you're not getting your prayer across. You know, that's always a concern. But either way, it's as I understand it, is telepathy is still just as good. You say the prayer. You know, with the blood of Jesus, and I have to do it every day when I go out driving where I'm at. Believe me, you know, there's a lot of crazy people out there. But the reason we went to Iraq was for stargates, the gold, and Gilgamesh's DNA. Now, that's a thought. 17-foot giant, Sumerians, some of the oldest ancient writings in history, and yet there's a guy who's 17 foot tall, and they're trying to get his DNA because they want to inject it so they can live forever. That's getting into the satanic aspects. Right before they went to war with George Bush Jr., that's when he cut off the stem cell research. Think about it. Stem cells, DNA, and they're going over there for a top secret project that they don't want you to know about. You know, you could go on and on. This would be like a continuous show here, you know.
Could they have wanted the DNA of the presumptive past giants to create new soldiers who are bigger and stronger than what they have available from the present gene pool?
Oh, of course. I mean, you've got
absolutely
this Kandahar giant story. You've got all kinds of stories. And I always go back and say, wait a minute, if Noah's Ark story was correct, everybody got destroyed according to the information. So therefore, everybody who came from Noah's bloodline and then eventually got into the 12 tribes of Israel, that means we're all connected. But if you get into the alien discussion, then there's interdimensional aliens, there's people from other planets and systems. So it kind of disrupts all the religious stories, which is what humans are being controlled by. That's the whole point of it. So if you're Catholic, if you're Sikh, if you're Muslim, if you're Buddhist, it goes on down the line. It's some sort of a tool, but you have to look beyond that. You have to use your wisdom and go beyond that and say, what's really the truth? What's really going on? And even the aliens that they have that are captive, they even ask questions like that. And comprehending God is almost next to impossible. It's very difficult to comprehend. So it's like you do what you can. But our DNA, if you're human, your DNA has been altered. But now we have the hybridization programs that have been going on for hundreds of years that we know of since even the 1950s when Eisenhower was president and they had an alien treaty so they could exchange DNA. That's the actual document that was given to information, rather, to President Eisenhower. You know who the vice president was back in the 50s? That was Vice President Nixon. So he was going to transfer the information about the exchange of DNA so that we could become like gods is the actual theory behind it. And before he left the office at the White House, August 9th, 1974, they left a copy of the document that he previously gave to a guy named Robert Merritt, which was given to Henry Kissinger, a globalist, and other people. And guess where Nixon went when he left office back in 74? Anybody? People think he went to San Clemente. No, he went up to New York to see his buddy, Donald J. Trump.
Isn't that interesting? I didn't know Nixon and Trump were friends.
And they were supposed to release that information about the DNA thing, and they didn't do it. Trump didn't do it. He was supposed to release it in 2020. By 2020, it was like an
anniversary. Trump is a globalist, though.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Trump is part of that club, you know. I mean, he's in it, and we're not. I mean, it's pretty clear. And I just have one question for you. How did you guys calculate, you know, the speed of the Earth going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour? And how'd you monitor the Earth spinning at 1,047 miles an hour? And when they're out there in space, so-called space and endless galaxies, which is the Big Bang theory, why can't they ever get pictures of stars or the sun while they're out there? They can't even pan the camera around. And when they left the moon, hey, they forgot the cameraman that watched them launch off. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, they do. They have cameras everywhere.
I admire your courage. Yeah, they did. They had cameras even up there on the moon before they landed.
I talked about that on another show. Was that who was taking the pictures of the landing on the moon? See? They already had a camera. They already had a camera crew there, right?
Yeah, they did. If you believe in Santa Claus. And, hey, how about Buzz Aldrin just constantly saying we never went and we didn't go. It was animation. I mean, nonstop. The guy has a conscience, and God ain't letting him live with it, and he just has to come clean. It's that simple.
Stanley Kubrick,
that's how you know God.
Deathbed admitting the same thing about, and they filmed it in the desert, allegedly. And I've seen moon rocks at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in a display in the late 80s, early 90s. Moon rock's really weird looking, but the thing is, NASA always lies about these things. They don't want us to know the truth. Just like saying the Van Allen belt is so radioactive, we can't get to the moon because of that. Come on. you know, they've got materials.
I call it the Van Halen belt, because if we're going to make stuff up, let's just do it right. You know, like I said, I want to know how they calculated the Earth spinning at 1,047 miles an hour, and how did they calculate the Earth revolving around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. I want to see how they did that and what instruments they used, because it doesn't exist.
Satellites. I lived at China Lake, a top secret military base, and they did a lot of...
You mean the satellites that NASA uses helium to launch, because they own, they use the largest supply of helium?
What about Elon Musk, solid or liquid?
Another globalist that wants to put a chip in your head so you can see in your computer the future and all kinds of things?
Exactly.
Nope.
Yeah, good point.
Go look at who his dad was. You can tell these people where they came from, just like Bill Gates. His dad, you know, ran Planned Parenthood, who Margaret Sanger handed it over. He's not a Microsoft guru. He was gifted with that fortune and wealth for upholding the Planned Parenthood, which is a baby sacrificing program.
Yep. And he's got a top secret underground base at North Dakota, just barely across the border where he could walk across. He's got one of those 120-year type deals like NORAD and the continuity of government type systems that we have, or that they have.
Johnny, I want to thank you for calling in, and I just got to say, John,
Absolutely,
I appreciate. Yeah, thank you for calling in, and John, I just want to thank you for being here. We got about 30 seconds if you'd like to offer a final thought.
Go
ahead. Which John?
No. Go ahead, John Carman.
Oh, okay. If anybody wants to contact me off the show, john.a.carman@gmail.com, john.a.carman@gmail.com. I like to entertain with as much truth as I can get out there, because sometimes we don't have anything. But anytime people can ask questions, it reveals what they know, what they may not know, and it's always good to talk with people like that, anybody that has an opinion about something, because we're still being lied to by NASA. You know, never a straight answer joke, right?
Well, thanks, everyone, for being here, and have a wonderful weekend. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, your loved one, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Thanks, Jim.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their